Brent Musburger has joined us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his career. Brent, I've always been fascinated with the drama, the sports drama, the human sports drama that is associated with entertainment and sports as well. At what point did you understand that, aside from what goes on every day in people's life, that sports was a little bit different? There's always, you know, a winner and a loser, but there always seems to be a new way for it to be determined.
Yeah, I think, Ron, that I probably knew that right away, that this is the greatest live drama that we have going. And it involves people that the public is very fascinated in knowing more about. And so that part of the equation came very easy to me. I think that sometimes broadcasts get too bogged down in the numbers, the fantasy situations and things. And I think it's more a business of drama and interesting human nature stories. And I think that's what brings such a large audience in to watch these games as they unfold. It is clear that the American public loves its sports on television.
One thing that I have always said to the listeners out there, because they've mostly complained about the money that they're making, they say, I'd play for free. I'd said you probably would because you're not good enough to get paid to play. But there is a dynamic when it comes to sports, Brent, that I find fascinating, and it's something that I don't think the fans understand. And that is, there are very few professions in which you're evaluated on a moment-to-moment basis, and whether you're employed or not will be determined on a moment-to-moment basis. Also, there's very few professions that if you have a bad day at the office that you read about it in the paper the next day. And secondly, it's also very few professions that if you have a bad day at the office, when you walk back into the office, you're likely to get booed. Is that a fair depiction of sports today, you think?
Well, somewhat extreme. In that some of these fellows can have a bad year and they're still going to be employed, Ron. I don't think it's a moment-by-moment situation that they evaluate all these athletes on. Certainly over the long haul, you're absolutely right. As far as the criticism in the newspapers, I imagine there's a lot of fellows around these sports that don't even bother to read newspapers after a losing game or a bad performance on their part. They don't have to. They know more than anybody when things go wrong for them. If you go the World Series getting underway and some hitter goes 0 for 4, 0 for 5, strikes out two or three times, he doesn't need anybody to remind him. He certainly knows, and he's determined to come back the next day. Now, the people who say that they would play for free, they're exaggerating because they would find themselves in these locker room situations and with the money that's being paid to the athletes around. They certainly, Ron, would want to be paid on a Friday afternoon. Listen, it is a wonderful way to make a living. I can't think of a better way for a person to earn a good living for himself and his family than to be, let's say, a professional tennis player, let's say a world-class boxer. You name whatever sport you want to. And I find it sad that I don't think some of these athletes realize it in time as to what an opportunity they've got and how short that span is going to be. It is, for a baseball player, it is such a brief period of time from the All-Star game to the old-timers game. And if you go back and talk to some of these fellows who played for 10, 12 years, they'll look at you and say, Ron, I just don't know where the time went. I thought I was coming out of the dugout with a bat in my hands just yesterday. And it goes very, very quickly. But these are world-class performers. I think that the professionals understand criticism. They understand being booed. For the amateurs, for the college players, that can be a little unsettling when the home crowd boos, let's say, a college quarterback. I think it's a little bit different. But when you're paying a quarterback well over $1 million, he has to learn how to accept that. And he has to also understand they didn't play well or he wouldn't be booed. So I think most professional athletes that I'm around, they get it. They don't have any problem with that.
In late 1973, Brent, you started doing play-by-play for CBS Sports, and then, of course, you rose to prominence as the host of the network's National Football League studio show, which was number one rated the NFL Today. What was the reason for its success and its prominence?
Well, there were a lot of reasons, and I think first and foremost is the fact that Bob Wessler, who was the chief executive and head of CBS Sports at the time, decided to go live with it, all of the previous pregame shows, and Pat Summerall and Jack Whitaker had hosted it the year before, they were all taped on Thursday or Friday. I believe it might have been called Countdown to Kickoff. But Bob said, I want to go live with the pregame. I want the halftimes as live as we can make them, understanding we had to sync up several games at the time. And then I want to have the postgame show emanate from the studio, and that too live. I think that sports are meant to be covered live, and I think that brought an entirely different quality to it. Then he put together a cast by bringing Miss America, Phyllis George, and a very wonderful African-American athlete, Irv Cross, into the mix with someone who he had confidence in, could handle highlights and go from remote to remote. He put the show on the road back in the mid-70s, and then in the second year was able to convince Pete Rozelle that he could put Jimmy the Greek up on the air without him ever saying point spreads, but by using checks and saying that this team could win big and things like that, that the Greek would be a very effective personality in the show. And so I think all of those elements, Ron, made it the success that it was back in the day. We were also only a half hour. We didn't have to drag on interminably. People would sit down for 30 minutes. It was a pretty fast-paced show. And then, bang, your favorite teams were kicking it off. And the NFC was very dominant back in then. The Dallas Cowboys were becoming America's team. Then when they faded just a bit, San Francisco jumped to the front, and along came the Chicago Bears, and then finally the New York Giants joined it. So we had all these major markets that came along with us at just the right time. So if you factor all of those things into it, it's pretty easy to see why the show was a great success that it was. And I had great fun doing it.
Irv Cross gave me one of the best lines I ever heard. I was asking him one time about how he felt about them putting names on the back of the jerseys, because when he played, they didn't have it. He said, I wouldn't have liked it. I said, why? He said, because that way I wouldn't know who I was chasing.
Irv is Ron was just a wonderful, wonderful person. And sort of interesting that he was really the first prominent African-American to get as much studio time as he was given on that show. Now, of course, it's very accepted, and we have many former athletes and some youngsters who come from broadcasting school, and they're up on the air, and that's great to see. It was a little bit different having Irv come in back in the mid-70s, and he did just a wonderful, wonderful job. I was with him at Northwestern. He was a very outstanding athlete, track runner, and a great football player. And, of course, he had a tremendous career in the National Football League.
How much pushback was there in having Phyllis George, who was a beauty queen, as you said, on a show that was, you know, dedicated or at least pointed toward men?
Well, first of all, our boss wanted her on, so you get main vote. And two, I had absolutely no objection to it. I had never met her, but I wanted to see. And I think, Ron, because she never pretended to be a football expert. She was just a wonderful personality, and she could interview players. She would go, and they loved to see her come around. You would be surprised at the positive approach that we received to her from the general population. Now, there will always be a group of critics out there who think that she didn't know enough about football and that some of these gals don't belong on the sideline. But Phyllis George was a pioneer and probably does not receive as much credit as she deserves, because we put her in that situation, and people look forward to seeing her when she would say, coming up today on the NFL. So I think she did a great job, and certainly internally, there was absolutely no pushback against her at all. She was widely accepted.
Was there any fear that she might say something that would embarrass the show or even embarrass herself?
Well, that was my job, and if I heard it, make it into a joke, and life goes on. And I can't remember any time when she said something that was just so stupid we had to step in and correct her from a football standpoint. She was very, very careful, and never got involved in whether it was a 4-3 or a 3-4 or those things. That just that wasn't her strength, and she knew it, and she didn't try.
We only have 30 seconds before we have to break, but Jimmy the Greek, knowing the sensitivities that professional sports, in particular the football, meaning NFL, had as far as gambling, how did you try to work that in?
The bulk of the public, millions and millions of people, they just play pick'em games with everybody, or maybe you pick three or four games against the spread, and I think it's pretty harmless. If you take a look at fantasy football, the league got behind it, and that's a game of chance in itself. That's not a whole lot different than saying the New York Giants are going to win, and they're going to win more than 3.5. So I always thought all along that it was very much a part of football. I listen all the time to this argument that we shouldn't legalize it because look what happens to soccer. Well, that's because the authorities come down. They find out when games are being played and when games are being fixed or anything like that. So you just have the men in charge, keep a close eye on it. But if the public wants to pick winners, be it just flat out or against the spread, you know, so be it. I'm certainly not opposed to it.
Brent Musburger has joined us on Sports Byline. We continue across the country and around the world on America's Sports Talk Show.